Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week did mark the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision, legalizing abortion nationwide, and the news that Planned Parenthood is abandoning its own use of the term pro-choice. So how different should the language in favor of abortion rights be from this pro-choice rally from 1992 when Jane Fonda spoke?
We are the faces of pro-choice America. Women and men, old and young, people of all races from all parts of the United States. And we are here to say to the government, you got enough problems of your own. Stay out of my womb. Right?
Jane Fonda in 1992, joining us now is the president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, Cecile Richards. Ms. Richards, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, what do you think? Let's make this a call in for pro-choice listeners, or let's say people in favor of abortion rights under the law. Do you wholeheartedly embrace the term pro-choice when you talk about the issue, or are you also ready to move on? And if so, what should it be replaced with, or what language are you already using? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Cecile Richards, you heard Jane Fonda there in that clip from 92. How many of the phrases in that clip do you think you would use today?
Well, first, Brian, let me just say I adore Jane Fonda, and she's been a friend and a supporter of women and women's health and rights for as long as I can remember. And I certainly I don't have any problem with anyone using the term pro-choice. I think what we've found, it's actually fascinating this week as we celebrate the 40th anniversary of Roe, stronger support in this country than ever for the Roe decision, for women to be able to make their own decisions about their pregnancies, but just less affinity for a label that, frankly, is a political label that was created decades ago. And so I think what we're finding at Planned Parenthood is that just the use of these political labels unfortunately mask the fact that the vast majority of Americans, including this next generation, support access to safe and legal abortion, and they don't think that politicians should be making these decisions for women.
Do you think pro-choice connotes to younger women then that doesn't communicate what it used to? I guess it's like, you know, young women will say, therefore, equal rights all the way across the board for women and men doing, you know, half the housework and all of that stuff, but they don't embrace the term feminist. So is it the same for pro-choice? And why do you think, if that's the case?
You know, I don't really know, although I would just say all movements evolve. I mean, if you know, again, this movement and the Roe decision is now 40 years old, and so many of the young women and young men who support access to safe and legal abortion were born long after this movement started. And I think we just have to be willing to, move with the times. And why one of the reasons Planned Parenthood really took this on is because we see public polling that uses these outdated political labels that really doesn't, reflect what we saw in the NBC poll just this week, which is that 7 in 10 Americans believe that Roe is, or what Roe represents, is the law of the land, and they don't want to go backwards.
Although,
I just think that's an important point.
We seem to see that the other side still embraces their one-word label of life. Thousands are expected to gather in D.C. today for the 40th annual, what they call March for Life, opposing the Roe decision. So they're sticking to their label. What's your new...
Well, it's just kind of funny because you can do polling all over the country and you find people who may self-describe as pro-life or attach themselves to that political label. But in fact, believe that a government should not be involved in women's decisions mm-hmm. about their pregnancy.
Right.
So essentially, they support Roe and what it represents, but the political labels, again, I think have become less and less meaningful, and you see tons of people who don't attach to either label. So it's really kind of stopping the conversation.
So what's your new shorthand? You know, if you go to lunch and somebody doesn't know that you're Cecile Richards, the president of the Planned Parenthood Federation, and they say, well, what's your position on abortion? So you're not going to say, I'm pro-choice anymore. What are you going to say in that quick lunch?
I'm going to say, look, I believe that women, not politicians, should make decisions about their pregnancies. And I think if you go further, and this is what we've seen particularly among people of all walks of life, is that folks understand that no one walks in another woman's shoes, that the decisions women make about their pregnancies are very personal, always have been. And then that should be their decision, not the decision by government or by politicians. And that's consistent. You know, we saw in even the state of Mississippi, a very, very conservative state, a state that would identify with the label pro-life, voted overwhelmingly against making abortion illegal by adopting a personhood amendment. So, again, I think it's a recent case of showing how these political labels are really getting in the way of people expressing their true beliefs about the proper role of women in making their healthcare decisions and not politicians.
Let's hear what some of our listeners think. Lauren in Asbury Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Brian, and hi, Cecile. I'm a big fan of your work. So I strongly favor abortion rights. I'm actually a graduate student in women's and gender studies, but I actually prefer the term reproductive justice, which sort of means it's a concept about linking reproductive rights with social justice, because while we may legally have the choice to have an abortion, it's so difficult for millions of women in this country to access it. And I think it's important to extend that choice and the availability of that choice to millions of women beyond just abortion, but including birth control and comprehensive sexual education.
Go ahead, Cecile.
Well, Lauren, thanks for your call, and I really hear you, and this is what we've heard from a lot of young women, sort of next-generation women who support abortion rights wholeheartedly but recognize exactly what you've articulated, which is it's one thing to have a constitutional right. It's another thing to be able to actually exercise it. And, of course, we are seeing in this country, as the Tea Party sort of swept many state legislatures and Congress, unrelenting attacks on women's ability to access abortion, in safe and legal abortion. That's what we really have to be focused on, is ensuring that this isn't just a theoretical right, but is actually a right that women can exercise. So
Christine,
I appreciate your point.
In Manhattan. Hi, Christine. You're on the air.
Good morning, Brian and Cecile. I'm a middle-aged lady, and for a long time I've not use the term pro-choice because I find it overly defensive and too much of a, just as a word person, it just seems too much of a knee-jerk response to pro-life. And pro-life is such an obnoxious buzzword that I think pro-choice is overdue to be let go of. So I congratulate Planned Parenthood for this move. I think it's long overdue.
Christine, what do you say? How do you characterize your position, Christine?
Oh, well, as Cecile said, I will say I follow the laws of the land to a certain extent, and this has long been the law of the land. I think women have the right to have control over their reproductive facility.
Control over their reproductive
That's right.
facility. Christine, thank you. I want to go to the next caller, Chris in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
How are you? I think as the man in this discussion, I agree with everything you said, but I think it's good to have a shorthand. And I think we cannot let the pro-life people act like they have that market on life. I mean, we're all about life, but to me, it's about choice. I thought pro-choice was good because it's against anti-choice. It's about choice and anti-choice. Although I agree with what you're saying, it would be good to have a shorthand. I'll take your answer off the air.
Thank you.
If I could say, right, I think, look, one of the things that we have learned as we work with a lot of young people, a lot of young women, their first time they go for birth control or doctor visit is at a Planned Parenthood, so we talk to them every day. There is a real rejection by this generation of labels of any sort, whether it's pro-choice, pro-life, whether it is sexuality, sexual preference, sexual identity. And I think this is more recognition that just these sort of shorthand labels don't necessarily reflect how people talk about and think about issues that are very important. And abortion has always been an issue that people have deeply personal feelings about. I personally don't believe it's something that attaches itself to a quick political label.
Chris was arguing that the two labels are clearer. You should be calling the other side anti-choice. But one could say that both labels are clear because the moral choice here is what do you value more in terms of what the law should protect, the choice of the woman or the life of the fetus? So is it not just kind of clear in that respect from both sides, and then people can decide where they stand?
You can say it's clear, but I can tell you from repeated polling, people have no idea what these terms mean. And as I would say, someone may attach themselves to pro-life because, as some of your callers said, it sounds, who doesn't want to be pro-life? You know, I'm a mother of three kids. I feel like I'm pro-life as anyone in America. But when you actually dig underneath that terminology, it's clear that many, many people who would attach one label to the other actually fundamentally believe in the tenets of Roe, that women should make these decisions, not government and not politicians. So I think that the terminology, this sort of shortcut, is actually masking the overwhelming support in this country for not only Roe, but for the ability of women to make their own decisions. And I think when we use the shorthand of these pro-choice, pro-life labels, frankly, we're talking past a lot of people and leaving them out of this conversation.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC on this 40th anniversary week of Roe versus Wade, as we talk to Cecile Richards, president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, which says it is moving away from the term pro-choice. Beth in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I am a pro-choice woman, and I do think it is an outdated term. I think that the younger generation assumes that they have the choice. So when they hear that, it just seems like an old, old term. And I think that the word access, even though it's clumsy, might be a better term to focus on, because that is really what is being altered by the pro-life people, is women's access. And American women want to have access to everything, is what it seems like.
Beth, thank you. How about that word, access, Cecile?
I think access is a good word. I mean, I think it, again, I tend to believe, and Beth, thanks for your comment. I think a lot of people will continue to describe themselves as pro-choice. I have no problem with that. I just want to make sure that we're talking to the, millions of folks who don't necessarily identify with that term. I really do think it fundamentally comes down to a woman's ability to make her own personal medical decisions. It's about decisions about her pregnancy. And there are, women have to make a lot of these decisions every single day. That, to me, is what it comes down to. And I do think the young generation, look, I've got three kids, and the last thing they want you to do is tell them they can't do something. And I think that their ability to decide about their lives and about their own health care and their own health care decisions is fundamentally important. It's ironically, I reread what Sarah Weddington's argument was before the justices 40 years ago, and that's exactly what she talked about, is women's ability to make her own decisions.
How much do you think that access is really successfully being limited? Despite the popularity of Roe versus Wade as a general principle, there are so many laws in recent years passed at the state levels, for the most part, that are restricting women's access. I think there are some states with like one abortion clinic in the whole state.
Absolutely. No, it's unconscionable. I mean, that is, and I know a couple of your callers spoke to that. That's what's really important, is that we have to ensure that, I say politicians, particularly in state legislatures and in the U.S. House of Representatives, are so out of step with where the American people are. And every time they pass a bill that limits women's ability to make these decisions, they're going against the direct interests of their constituents. And that's why, to me, we can't let these political labels limit our ability to mobilize, the millions of Americans who believe that Roe is settled law And then, in fact, you know, when we talk to voters, Brian, about what do they really want government to do, what do they think the real problems are in America, it's not access to safe and legal abortion. That they don't want changes in that. They want more women to have access to birth control, young people to have access to sex education, and to help people prevent unintended pregnancy in the first place. There's so much we can do on that, and that's what we do at Planned Parenthood every day. And yet the same politicians who are trying to eliminate access to safe and legal abortion are trying to shut down women's access to birth control. It's just not going to work.
On this idea of when life begins, I think since the 70s, there's, you know, more and more incidents of progressive women who would describe themselves as pro-choice or whatever term they want to use, who, when they have a wanted pregnancy, they're posting pictures of the sonogram of the fetus on their walls at 2 months and playing Mozart to the baby and, you know, whatever it is they think is going to go. Does that complicate the moral question of when there's a life with value?
I don't think it complicates it. I actually think having had three children myself, I really, really relate to this. I think it makes it even more important that women be able to make their own decisions, whether it is to have a child, whether it is to terminate a pregnancy, or whether it is to put a child up for adoption. These are very personal, often complex decisions that women make. And the thought that a politician or a government official would be telling a woman whether or not to have a child is absolutely, I think, it's un-American, and it's antithetical to where people are in this country.
And we are out of time with Cecile Richards, president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. The suggestions for language are still coming in. Somebody tweets us, how about pro-Roe? And somebody else writes,
a lot of us unfortunately don't know what Roe is either.
How about pro-life choices? So you get life and choice in there with pro-life choices. So listeners, you can keep that comments page conversation going at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Cecile Richards, thank you very much for coming on and having this conversation with us.
Sure, Brian. Thanks for having me.